The Gore mystery was partially explained 14 years after the preliminary hearing. Glenn Gore, still in prison, signed an affidavit in which he stated that during the early 1980s, he was selling drugs in Ada. He mentioned methamphetamine. Some of his transactions involved Ada policemen, specifically one Dennis Corvin, whom Gore described as a primary supplier and who frequented Harold's Club, where Gore worked. When Gore owed them money, they would arrest him under false pretenses, but for the most part, the cops left him alone. Under oath, he said in his affidavit, "However, most of the time during the early 1980s, I was aware that I was receiving favorable treatment from Ada law enforcement because I was involved in drug transactions with them." And this favorable treatment ended when I was no longer involved in the drug business with Ada police. He blamed his 40-year prison sentence on the fact that he was no longer selling drugs to the Ada police. Regarding Williamson, Gore said in 2001 he did not know if Ron was at the coach light the night of the murder. The police showed him a lineup of photos, pointed to Ron, and explained that he was the man they were interested in. Then they directly suggested that I identify Mr. Williamson. And to this day, I do not know if Ron Williamson was at the bar on the night that Debbie Carter disappeared. I made the identification because I knew the police expected me to do that. Gore's affidavit was prepared by an attorney, and it was reviewed by his own lawyer before he signed it. The state's next witness was Tommy Glover, a regular at the coach light and one of the last to see Debbie Carter. His initial recollection was that she was talking with Glenn Gore in the parking lot and that she pushed him away before driving off. But 4 years and 7 months later, he remembered things a bit differently. Glover testified at the preliminary hearing that he saw Gore speak to Debbie and that she got in her car and drove away, nothing more or less. Charlie Carter testified next and told the story of finding his daughter on the morning of December 8, 1982. OSBI agent Jerry Peters, a crime scene specialist, was called to the stand. It wasn't long before he was in trouble. Barney smelled a rat and grilled Peters on his conflicting opinions about the palm print on the sheetrock. A firm opinion in March 1983, then, surprise, an about-face in May 1987. What prompted Peters to rethink his original opinion that the palm print did not belong to Debbie Carter, Ron Williamson, or Dennis Fritz? Could it have been that this opinion didn't really help the prosecution? Peters did admit that nothing happened for 4 years. Then, a phone call early in 1987 from Bill Peterson prompted him to ponder his earlier judgment. After the exhumation and reprinting, he suddenly changed his mind and issued a report that was exactly what the prosecution wanted. Greg Saunders joined the assault on behalf of Dennis Fritz, and it was obvious the evidence had been reconstructed. But it was only a preliminary hearing, not a trial that required proof beyond a reasonable doubt. Peters also testified that of the 21 fingerprints found in the apartment and on the car, 19 belonged to Debbie Carter herself, one to Mike Carpenter, one to Dennis Smith, and none to either Fritz or Williamson.